Profile America, Tuesday, March 29th. One of the most successful brand names of all time got its start on this date in 1886. That's when Atlanta pharmacist John Pemberton brewed up the first batch of Coca-Cola, designed as a hangover cure. The product went on sale at Jacob's Pharmacy a few weeks later, and sold an average of 9 servings a day at the start. Success followed quickly, and until 1905, the drink contained extracts of cocaine, as well as the caffeine-rich cola nut. Today, the firm's products account for close to 2 billion servings a day around the world. Americans, on average, drink about 40 gallons of carbonated soft drinks a year, a rate that has been in decline lately. Still, some 45,000 people are employed in the $35 billion a year business of soft drink manufacturing. You can find more facts about America from the U.S. Census Bureau online at census.gov.
If you've ever worked for a large company that provides services to a customer, at some point you may have said,
huh, I think I might be able to do this better on my own.
Well, this is the show for people who actually take the step off the ledge and fend for themselves in the cutthroat world that is government contracting. Hi, I'm Alan Scott of Columbia Technology Partners and host Ready to Pry. Part information, part inspiration, all small business. The last Tuesday of every month on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and on demand anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Hello and welcome to yet another edition of Columbia Technology Partners Ready to Pry. My name is Alan Scott. Of course, with the passage of the Homeland Security Act by Congress with the mere swipe of a pen in 2002, the Department of Homeland Security formally became into being, kind of its standalone agency, cabinet-level department, to further coordinate and unify national homeland security efforts. Officially opened its doors on March 1st, 2003. As a result, the agency formed and now has contracting needs. Opportunities, if you will, for people like you and me to come in and work lockstep with the government to achieve the mission at hand. Fast forward to the present, where I'm sitting with the director of the Department of Homeland Security's Office of Small and Disadvantaged Business Utilization. That's a mouthful. Mr. Kevin Boshears, how are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. This is, it took me a little while to get here, but that's okay. You're hidden in the back of GSA. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. You guys probably, I'm going to. But I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to have the opportunity to kind of pick your brain, because obviously I'm a business development manager with a small business doing a radio program, kind of leaving breadcrumbs for people on how to do business with various agencies. And so far it's working really well. I'm getting phone calls and such, but I want to talk to you because this is clearly an agency that we want to get in with. And I guess my first question to you would, as a small business, what would success look like for a small business to begin working with the Department of Homeland Security? And by success, I don't mean just like prime or sub. It could be as small as a returned phone call. In a lot of instances, it takes a while for that to happen for us. So,
sure.
So go ahead.
Well, that's an excellent first question.
Thank you.
Small businesses are known within DHS by their specialties. What we typically engage with them about on the first call, the first communication is, what are your specialties? What do you do that where you have positioned yourself to participate? Mm-hmm. And typically we say, what are the three things you do really well? It might be two, it might be four, but that's a nice framework to start the discussion.
Okay.
And then we combine that with the way that DHS is organized and how we do the buying. I'll just share a little bit of
Absolutely. With
our audience. You mentioned that we came into being on March the 1st, 2003.
Correct.
When we first came together, 22 or parts of 22 agencies came together.
Correct.
Okay. Well, by now, we've established that we have 8 major contracting shops, 8 major that do primarily public buying, and we have one contracting shop that primarily handles our classified contracts. So that's important for small businesses because that's where the contracting officers reside. And that's where our internal customers go to have their contracting needs fulfilled.
Okay.
So when you begin to piece it together, the answer to the question, what does success look like, you know, for a small business?
Sure.
Primarily, it's finding where they fit, identifying a prime or a subcontracting opportunity, positioning themselves to participate, have some sort of structured agreement mm-hmm. that allows the small business to get paid, either via prime or subcontract. And then ultimately, like many of the small businesses that do business with us have told me, make their contribution in support of the mission.
Is it as simple as a small business walking in the door, sitting down, having a conversation with you and saying, look, here are my areas of expertise. These are the things that I excel in. What can you do for me? Or it's literally, he's shaking his head. It's literally that simple.
Well, I mean, that's that continues to be the starting point.
Okay.
I think it would be helpful if we explain the way we advise small businesses on doing business with us.
That's perfect. What are the steps? Here I am,
yeah.
A small business guy.
Okay.
I've just created the company.
Okay.
I'm going, hey, I'm the only one on contract. I really want to grow.
Yeah.
I want to work over there.
Okay.
What's the path that one needs to take to initiate that conversation?
Well, this is what we recommend. Now, we have... remember, we're organized with our major buying activities, right? Mm-hmm. Within our major buying activities, we have a network of operational small business specialists. We also have a network of individuals who service industry liaisons. These are a group of individuals who are acquainted to dealing with industry. In my particular case, my office, we're the long name office, OSDBU, OSDBU is the phonetic pronunciation. My office works very closely with the DHS components to implement this program.
Okay.
So for the small business that's looking to do business with us. If we engage with them at first, before they've had a chance to do a great deal of homework, we usually engage in some sort of dialogue. Like, have you done business with the federal government before?
Sure.
You know, have you looked at any DHS opportunities? You know, are you aware of the various programs in the federal government designed to help small businesses? Although it's a very preliminary dialogue, based on the answer, we're going to direct them to whatever our recommended approach is. For example, suppose a company has started fairly recently, or they've been in done commercial work and haven't done federal government work.
Mm-hmm.
We typically will recommend that they visit their local PTAC, PTAC, Procurement Technical Assistance Center program.
Okay.
It's funded by the Defense Department. Their mission is to help businesses learn about federal, state, and local contracting. Most of their services are no cost or low cost. They will help a company become acquainted with federal contracting. And it's a very, very good use of the newcomer's time. Okay, so that's what we would do if they don't have any federal experience.
Okay.
Okay, but then let's suppose we have a company that has some federal experience or maybe has a couple of contracts with another federal agency and they'd like to learn about DHS.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have some concrete advice, you know, that we give on a regular basis. First of all, we say, visit our website mm-hmm. and kick the tires.
It sounds so simple, but you're right. You know, well, do a little research.
A little bit of research. Learn how we're organized.
Right.
Look at the information we've made available electronically. For example, we have online our acquisition planning forecast system. You know, a listing of various opportunities that we plan to buy, with point of contact information, a brief description of the project, estimated dollar value, that sort of thing, available on our website. You can look at our small business outreach program calendar. We host a monthly small business vendor outreach program, no cost to come, prearranged 15-minute appointments. We invite you to come and meet with us in person. Let us get to know you. You get to know us. Typically, at these events, we have our component small business specialist team who engages in the prearranged 15-minute appointments. Mm-hmm. And we also have four, five, or six large business prime contractors who are providing small business subcontracting opportunities. So take advantage of the electronic information.
Mm-hmm.
Come and see us in person. Feel free to reach out to us. We have all of our emails and direct phone numbers. We will call you back. We will respond to your email. We're public servants, is what we do.
That's very good to hear, and to hear it coming from you at the top of the chain. There are all too often times at which calls don't get returned, as you're well aware.
Certainly.
It's very tough to break into certain agencies simply because you don't have the past performance. You don't know anybody there, and when you try to reach out to get in touch with someone, you end up in a rabbit hole that never seems to end.
Well, that's a legitimate thing to say. Because one of the things we try to do is listen very carefully, very closely to our small business constituents. That's where we get our feedback. I think that's certainly a legitimate thing that companies will be able to say about their interaction in federal contracting. But I think we can also say that we want to be responsive.
Mm-hmm.
We know that we're not going to return every phone call within 10 seconds. I mean, we try to be realistic about it.
Sure.
But we want to try to reach back to those that contact us in a what we consider to be a reasonable amount of time.
You're listening to Columbia Technology Partners Ready to Prime here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Alan Scott, where my guest is someone who's been awarded many, many, many accolades. Look, he's blushing. He's starting to blush. Many accolades, one of which has to do with women-owned business. In 2006, he was presented with the Francis Perkins Vanguard Award for exemplary utilization of women-owned small business by the Small Business Administration. Now, you're in charge of the small business office, so to speak, here at DHS. What is your relationship with SBA now? Looking at the various socioeconomic opportunities that are out there, do you find some harder than others to fill? What's your track record so far?
Well, in fiscal year 15, mm-hmm. We exceeded all of our small business prime contracting goals.
Nice job.
We exceeded our overall small business goal, our small disadvantaged business, our women-owned small business.
Very nice.
Our service-disabled veteran, and the hub zone goal.
That's the tough one. I was waiting for you to get to that
one. We were five for five.
Nice. Congratulations. Because there's some agencies that can't. Now, does Natalia Arteco come down on you when things like that? She's the regional director of the SBA here. Does their office, you know, pound it into you that this needs to be done? Or is it just something that you innately know this is the right thing to do?
Yeah, I think we work with SBA on a regular basis.
Sure, sure.
Each year, the participating agencies establish goals with SBA. I mean, that's done on a regular basis.
That's SOP, yeah.
Yeah, I engage with them on a regular basis. For example, I and my fellow OSDBU directors, we participate in a SBA hosted council, the Small Business Procurement Advisory Council,
mm-hmm.
SBPAC. We have lots of acronyms.
I was going to say, this industry is just full of acronyms.
It's so. The SBPEC. Yeah. The OSDBOOs meet at the SBPEC.
Of course they do.
On a monthly basis.
Of course they do.
You know, so we do engage with them on a regular basis, share best practices, aware of changes in the program, upcoming legislative changes, all sorts of things that are germane to federal small business contracting.
So, by the way, if I didn't mention his name, it is Kevin Boshears, and he's the director of OSDBOO, Homeland Security's Office of Small and Disadvantaged Business Utilization, where you'll want to go if you're a small business to find out how to begin doing business here at this amazing agency. All too often, we hear from retired government people who were in the world. They may have been CORs. They may have been, you know, whatever, contracting representatives at whatever agency. They come out or they're directors in various places, but have a touch and feel with contractors on a daily basis. They come out into the private sector and start working for a contractor, and their eyes start to pop open like, are you kidding? I made you do what? Do you ever have those aha moments with retired government employees, and how do you act on any of them? Are there any steps that you can take to make it better?
Yeah, well, it's all part of the general theme of getting feedback from our constituents, and the only way to really do that is to have some sort of a dialogue, discussion, forum, something. Where you can get that feedback.
Right.
I mean, because that's what's essential.
Right.
So the strategy that I've, in my experience, has been most effective is to try to get individuals or companies to let me know what are the specific issues that you believe need to be addressed. Is it because you didn't feel you had enough time to submit a sufficient, proper proposal?
Sure.
Was something as not clear as it should have been? Was the way that the procurement or solicitation was structured, you know, did that give you pause? You know, did you ask a question and you really weren't comfortable or confident in the response? I mean, some way I need to get the feedback so that I can speak to the people that are working on the project so that I can either try to improve it currently. If it's something that we should try to stay away from, it's something that I would recommend we don't do again. You know, in federal contracting in general, we hear a lot of talk in federal contracting today about communication with industry. You see, it's, frankly, I've been doing that for 25 years.
Right.
I mean, so it's not like a foreign concept to me.
Right, right. It's funny you mentioned communication with industry, because there are times at which we have these industry days with agencies, and we sit down, and it's almost, at least from my perspective, a fishing expedition to determine, we have this thing that we need to get done. We're not 100% sure how to do it. Let's present what we have and then take the feedback that we get to help shape that. Is that an accurate statement?
Yes, it can be.
It can be.
I think
okay.
is probably the best way to answer
sure.
that, because industry forums or engagement with industry has many variations. That sometimes the government wants to present what it's thinking about.
Sure.
What its plans are.
And we love that, by the way.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it.
No, it's and these can be very popular forums.
Sure.
Other times, if it's more specific, see, we tend to use the word industry day in the generic sense. You know, some sort of engagement between the federal government and the contractor community.
Sure.
But sometimes it can be more specific. For example, an event might truly be a pre-proposal conference, but we might just call it Industry Day.
Right.
You know, in the general sense, when companies are communicating about it with each other.
Sure.
So there are different types. My major point is there are different types of industry engagement.
Sure.
A pre-proposal conference typically comes right around the time that a solicitation has been released or is about to be released. Mm-hmm. You know, where the government says, look, these are our plans, this is what we're planning to do, these are our needs, that sort of thing, and we're going to need your feedback on the solicitation. It might be a draft RFP. There are many different ways to do this, but the key in my experience is to have that active dialogue.
Very important.
I think it's essential.
And it's no different than the active dialogue that a sub or potential sub has with a potential prime. You're building a relationship.
What a splendid illustration of that.
Yeah.
You know, I did, when we were talking earlier about what can a small business do to begin to navigate look at DHS.
Sure.
One of the other things that we have on our website, we have a listing of our large business prime contractors with small business subcontracting plans, mm-hmm, and a point of contact and a listing of what they've told us they're looking for. So we try to put the tools together that small businesses find to be effective.
That's great. You've got opportunities. We work in a full scope world. You've got opportunities for CI polys. You've got opportunities for no polygraph, no background investigation whatsoever for any small company out there looking to do business with
us. That's right. It does really run the gamut.
Yeah, yeah. Doors wide open here. I know. I walked in, so I'm sure you can too. It was relatively simple once we found the appropriate people to talk to. We'll just leave it at that. Any parting words for those listening right now? You know, you've got a captive audience of contractors now listening with bated breath at what it is you have to say. His name is Kevin Boshiers here with the Department of Homeland Security. What would you advise?
Well, I'm going to share some data.
Okay.
But it's not to bore people with statistics. It's to really show how we do have small business opportunities at DHS.
Okay.
And then I'll combine this couple of sentences with my review of how to become acquainted with us and to pursue work.
Perfect.
Okay. In FY15, mm-hmm, the last full fiscal year that ended, about 14,000 companies have DHS contracts.
Wow.
Representing all 50 states, the District of Columbia, and several territories. So we have the landscape covered.
Very nice.
Okay. Of the 14,000, about 9,500 are small businesses.
That's shocking.
And prepare to be further shocked.
Okay.
Of those 9,500 in FY15, about 2,300 small businesses secured their first DHS prime contract.
That is awesome right there.
Yeah, we think so too. So the business takeaway comes in two parts.
Mm-hmm.
The first part is that newcomers are welcome. And number two, a company doesn't have to have DHS past performance to secure contract work with us.
Very clear. The evidence is right there.
Here it is.
That's amazing, is, because there's so many agencies that won't allow you to prime if you don't have past performance there.
Right.
You got to be on their list,
well,
so to speak.
Look, we're since I've been at DHS since almost the beginning,
mm-hmm,
small businesses have done a tremendous job in support of our mission. They come focused. With a willingness to bring the best they have to offer, and the entire community, federal government included, benefits from it.
I couldn't have said it better. You're right. You know, every small business that I come in contact with puts their best foot forward at every step because they are small and their word is their bond.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, we don't have the backing of gigantic capitalists behind us being able to finance this and that. We have to be particular about the RFPs that we go after because that BMP money is not cheap.
Absolutely.
And a lot of times, you know, you're pulling these people out of a contract where they're getting paid and you're getting paid to work on a proposal. So you're spending even more money because you still want to make sure they're covered while they're not working.
Absolutely.
So I applaud you guys. That's great. And I look forward to developing a business relationship with you guys. This is just the beginning. Don't get me wrong. I will be back. I will be back. You're listening to Federal News Radio 1500 AM. This is Columbia Technology Partners Ready to Prime. My guest has been Kevin Boshears, Director of the Department of Homeland Security's Office of Small and Disadvantaged Business Utilization. That's a mouthful, but it's worth trying to say repeatedly because you're going to get work down here. According to those stats, it's going to happen. Kevin, thank you so much.
Alan, thank you for having me today.
Columbia Technology Partners is a service-disabled veteran, woman-owned small business based in Columbia, Maryland. Great culture, great benefits, and we're growing. Looking for security professionals like you. Are you an ISSO with a Security Plus or maybe an ISSE with your CISSP? Well, we want to talk to you. Referrals are welcome and rewarded. Email me today at alan.scott@ctp-web.com or simply call 410-290-3280. Again, 410-290-3280 and ask for me, Alan Scott. You can also follow me on Twitter at Alan L. Scott. And while you're at it, follow Federal News Radio as well at Fed News Radio. Tom Temin, Mike Causey, and of course, Jason Miller. They've got a lot to say, and you'll find it on Twitter, among other places as well, like federalnewsradio.com. Thanks for tuning in to Columbia Technology Partners Ready to Prime, right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Alan Scott. Till next time, thanks for listening.